Made possible in part by a grant from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe in downtown Urbana. For over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work, dress, and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on staff. Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Euromart International Food Store on Springfield and Locust in Champaign, offering 8,000 food items from Europe, South America, the Middle East, and the Orient. The Euromart hosts a cheese and olive tasting from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
It's coming up on 7 minutes past 1 o'clock Central Time, and this is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Jay Pierce. Celeste Quinn is away today. Jason Croft, our technical director, and Harriet Williamson is the producer of this program. Well, this is going to be, since Celeste is off today, we have rescheduled the guest that was to be here today. So we've opened up this hour, and this will be what we call a Talk to the Manager program, where you can call in and ask any questions you might have about our radio stations, WILL AM or FM, and I'll do my best to answer them. Normally, I'm a guest on a program with Celeste or David on Focus 580 in this role as the program director of AM 580 and station manager, the interim station manager of WILL AM and FM. So I'll act as the host and also the guest on the program today and solicit your phone calls at 333-9455 if you're calling locally, 333-9455. If it's a long-distance call, you can use our toll-free line, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, long distance, and that is a toll-free call. And we can talk about programming. We can talk a little about budgets if you'd like. You can ask us how the stations operate. If you want to ask some technical questions, I'll do my best to answer them or refer you to our chief engineer, Ed West, if necessary. So we'll see what's on your mind. 333-9455 locally, 800-222-9455 if you're calling long distance. And we'll see what we can do for you on this Talk to the Manager edition of the Afternoon Magazine. Line 4 is up first, and I believe the call's from Piatt County. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am very well.
Good.
But I did have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering about the decision to replace Fresh Air.
Sure.
Is it Odyssey?
Odyssey is the program that's currently there, yeah.
Yes. And they don't seem to be, or in my opinion, equal.
They're
I was
not.
Just wondering, what?
They're not the same kind of program.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Well, we talked quite extensively, I think, last fall about the disappearance of Fresh Air, and it was a budgetary concern. That basically was the reason that Fresh Air was taken from the schedule. We'd gone through, leading up to that decision, about 2 years of rather intense internal reallocation here. We don't operate with a big profit margin. We're nonprofit, so all of the money that we bring in goes right back into producing the programming, buying programs and the like, and into personnel. And a lot of our internal reallocation had come by not filling positions. And so our staff is way down. That's why I'm hosting the program today. So we'd gotten to the point where we really couldn't do any more attrition staff-wise and have enough people around to run the radio stations. So we had to look at programming. We were trying not to touch that, but we did have to make a decision that something had to go. And the reason it was Fresh Air was because it was one of the most expensive programs that we bought from NPR.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And if it wasn't Fresh Air, to save the amount of money by that we saved by eliminating Fresh Air from the schedule for the time being anyway, we would have had to cut just a list of about 8 other things, including the BBC, As It Happens, This American Life, and a couple of others. So
okay.
It was a tough decision. Now, Odyssey is a program that I have hopes for as it matures. It's a program that we worked with Chicago Public Radio to make an arrangement where we don't have to pay for it right now. So, and that's good until October. So what I'm hoping to do is solicit enough opinions about the program to make a decision on whether we ought to start paying for it in October or not, or what. I do hope at some point to be able to add fresh air back to the schedule.
Well, I
know
hope
a lot
so.
Of people miss it.
I certainly intend to give Odyssey another try, but I might suggest perhaps dropping Car Talk.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Well,
anyway,
you come in and answer the phone when the people call. And I'm just kidding.
Well, thank you so much for your explanation.
Thank you very much. And that is a good question. Odyssey is not really meant to be a replacement per se for fresh air. It's not there because I sat down and thought, well, this is a better program than fresh air. I'm going to put it on. I don't really compare them. It's kind of apples and oranges, not really the same kind of program. But I thought it was a pretty good program, and I was glad that we were able to work out a deal to air the program here, and we'll see how it goes. We'll be looking for your comments. Let's go to our next call. It's on line one, a caller from Wellington. Hi.
Yes, I'd like to comment on two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, I thought fresh air was getting a little stale. And perhaps if we all take a break from it for a while, it'll seem fresher again if you bring it back.
There you go.
And I do like Odyssey, by the way.
Good.
The other thing is, I would like you to comment, perhaps, even at length if necessary. I was reading in the Gazette the recent report of on the College of Journalism and Communications, et cetera, and how the recommendations were regarding WILL, and how you might implement some of those without damaging the quality of your programming.
Okay. I'd be glad to talk about that. And I've got the report here. That's what I'm writing.
And I'll just listen then.
Okay. This was a report for those who may not be totally aware of what this is about. Last year, Provost here at the University of Illinois and some others got together and took a look at the College of Communications and the Division of Broadcasting, which WILL is basically a part of, is a part of the College of Communications. And so anyway, what basically happened was some recommendations came out that were fairly critical of the College of Communications, and then a task force was put together made up of a variety of folks on campus, in the College of Communications and some ex officio members from across campus. And basically what this task force on the future of the College of Communications did was to come up with a response to some of the things that this initial committee, which was called the Coleman Committee, that report at the behest of Provost Richard Herman, had come up with. And so in the back and forth, we now have this report, which has been issued just this week, and it's about 29 pages long, and it goes rather in depth about how perhaps the College of Communications can, in part, restructure itself. It talks about a lot of the successes, and it does admit to and identify some of the areas that could be worked on. It talks about WILL, and I think the thing that came out about WILL in particular in a lot of the stories you might have heard, and I can't quote exactly, but I think the newspaper story that you're referring to suggested that WILL open its doors wider to student participation. And that is a recommendation that we do have more student participation in what we do here. Now, having said that, when you actually go into the report, what they're saying is that WILL should better integrate into the college's educational mission. And WILL, it says here, and I want to get into some of this because of what you said about damage, potential damage to the quality of programming. And I don't think that's necessarily a risk that we're facing here. It does acknowledge that WILL's administrators committed to high-quality professional broadcasting. have feared the impact student workers and the time commitment to teaching would have a negative impact on the quality of the programming. And I'm quoting now from the report. The result of this philosophy is irrefutable. WILL is an award-winning professional operation that is a godsend to the campus, Champaign-Urbana, state of Illinois, and on occasion the nation. It's not as if WILL and the college do not cooperate. Now, and it goes on to list that we do, a number of us, and in fact, I have taught in the College of Journalism, and some of the others go back and forth. Our engineers work with them. And the like. And we do have quite a few students working behind the scenes and in the weather office down in the television station, and we've had some working in the news department, and we have them working in programming. However, it goes on to say that the task force believes that after a review by college faculty and WILL personnel that such coordination can take place, in other words, infusing more students into the operation, without harm to WILL's broadcasts. And it's believed that such cooperation can actually enhance WILL's work by providing intelligent, highly motivated student personnel who make up in enthusiasm what they might lack in experience. And then it does say that the task force recommends the dean begin planning a dramatic expansion of the student learning opportunities at WILL through the creation of a series of formal internships in journalism and marketing. And that was the line that made it into the news stories, a dramatic increase. Basically, what we're talking about, and I've talked with the interim dean, Ron Yates, about this, and Dan Simeone, our former station manager, and Don Mullally, our director of the Division of Broadcasting around the task force, talked about that too with them. And what we're going to be doing is working to set up a series of formal internships in which students will be able to come here and learn on a more formal basis. We've been doing this all along on an informal basis. And what we hope to be able to do with the college's help, and this is something that the college had, in my estimation, not been perhaps as forthcoming as they might have been on their part. We'll be working to develop some more formal internships where there will be class credit, perhaps some financial compensation or a combination. And that's been one of the areas where we've kind of been at a disadvantage because we haven't been able to pay to have interns, and some of the other places they can go pay, and we know that with rising costs, students are more concerned about getting paid for what they do, for their time. They have to have paying jobs, and it's been hard for them to do volunteer work. But so I guess basically the bottom line is we have been working for a little while, and we are working on some more formal arrangements to have more students in here who we can mentor and work with. So there you go. That addresses that part of the report. Overall, again, these are just recommendations that come out of the task force. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with them. We'll be very interested to see. Another part of it they didn't talk a lot about that I'll touch on briefly is the funding issues. And it does admit that WILL has borne the brunt of the cuts in the budget in the College of Communications, and the task force here basically says that when funding can be restored, it needs to be recognized that WILL has silently borne the brunt of the cuts over the past, the most recent cuts that have gone through, and that should be WILL, the Division of Broadcasting, should be the first unit to have its funds restored as that happens. So that was some good news, too, coming out of there. I think it was a pretty positive report. It's good to kind of pull yourself apart and take a look at what's going on within the college from time to time. All right. We need to move on to our next call, and line three is from Urbana. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd just like to say we are very privileged to have this wonderful station. You know, you're nationally recognized and award-winning and just wonderful people and very, very useful information, and you're sensitive to the needs and the wants of the people, which I think is great. So I just wanted to stand up for you on your side that Odyssey, I think, is much better than Fresh Air. I like the information, and I like the host and the people that they have on, and I think it's much better than fresh air. So as far as I'm concerned, you can stay with Odyssey. And, of course, you know that Car Talk is a sacred cow. So, but anyway, keep up the wonderful work. We're very, very thankful to have you, and just keep doing the great job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that call. Great. And I'll let the folks at Fresh Air, Odyssey know, because I'm in touch with them pretty closely, and they're wanting to know how it's going, too. They're taking the program nationwide, and we're one of the first stations, you know, outside of Chicago to be running it. There are a few others right now, but so it's kind of a test case to see. And again, I appreciate that comment. It really, again, was not intended to be a replacement for Fresh Air. We ran some special programs in the time slot, the 3 o'clock time slot, for a little while before we put Odyssey in. I did that on purpose because I really didn't want the fact that Fresh Air was not there to taint Odyssey's chances. I want you to judge Odyssey on its own, not in comparison to Fresh Air. We may end up with both programs in the future. We'll see. And let's go on to another call in St. Joe on line 2. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I have a comment and I guess a question. My comment first is I'd like to just basically repeat what the other folks have said, that I like Odyssey a lot. I think it's a better program than Fresh Air. I'm glad that you're not paying for it. My question is, I would like to hear you talk, if you can, a little bit about the issues around the underwriting by the group called Aware.
Mm-hmm.
There has been maybe an allegation of possibly even censorship. I'd like to hear what the station has to say about that.
Who's alleged that?
Not in public. That's I've heard that in private from private folks.
Well, I don't know. I can tell you the process that we went through by which Aware got on the air as an underwriter.
Yes.
And I don't know.
Well, I think it was specifically about the text of the underwriting statement.
Okay. Well, yeah, I can tell you that there was a discussion. I met, and Les Schulte, our director of corporate underwriting, we met and we talked about, met with the folks from Aware and did, in fact, talk about what would be permissible in the content of an underwriting announcement. And we had a discussion and left, I thought, with a pretty good understanding of the fact that, well, obviously Aware is underwriting
on the
station. And there are certain guidelines that you must follow for underwriting. And it's not a censorship issue. These are established guidelines that have been in place at WILL and... As a matter of fact, I was just at a meeting of Public Radio in Mid-America, which is a regional group of public radio stations, and the document's sitting on my desk, and I wish I had it in here. I wish I were doing the show from my desk, because that's where everything sits. But the policy that we had, which was a national policy of underwriting, I can't quote exactly what group this is, but it also deals with underwriting on a national level. And the policy is almost the same as WILL's. It was kind of interesting. It was kind of eerie when I was reading it because it was a newer policy that was drawn up. And it just deals with what you can say. And underwriting announcements are meant to be acknowledgments of contributions to the station. They're not meant to be a platform for conveying any kind of... stances, political stances, or potentially controversial issues, or anything like that. So in the wording that we went over with Aware, we were talking about, you know, what would fit within the parameters, and that's what we worked out. That's
right.
Basically. I wasn't aware anybody was accusing us of censorship.
Well, maybe
you should.
My words were too strong. I apologize.
Well, I don't know. I'd be really concerned if if they are.
My understanding was that you didn't want, or the station didn't want to actually say anti-war, anti-racism effort.
Right. So
okay.
They're referred to as Aware.
That's a political stance.
They're referred to as Aware, You know, I wish I could have less in here to exactly go over. A lot of stuff goes through what I have to decide in the course of a week, and if I have my notes in front of me, it was to do with the name, and inherent in the name is social or a position on social or political issues. And that was the problem with it. It was the problem with saying the whole name. Using the acronym AWARE was fine, and mentioning that it's a group. And if I had the announcement right in front of me, I don't know if I have the text of the announcement in front of me, but maybe we could look that up. But that was so we came up with the language anyway that fits within the guidelines is what it is. That's basically what happened. Now, if there is somebody that wants to talk more about that, have them call me instead of going around and, you know, alleging censorship or whatever.
Sorry, I shouldn't have presented it that way.
Okay.
I apologize.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call. And it's a fine issue to talk about it. You know, we're pretty open on this. We're not trying to hide anything, but we do have restrictions in part, you know, in being a public radio station and the like. And yeah, it says the announcement is that we agreed on that we came to that fits within. What is allowable is today's broadcast is made possible with support from AWARE, an organization working for peace and justice through educational activities and projects. And then it mentions meeting times and where the meetings are held. And it also gives an email address. So there you go. And that's an acknowledgement of the group and their contribution, who they are. And that's pretty much what fits in the underwriting guidelines. So. Let's see, Belgium, I think we go to now, on line 4. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to bring together a couple of your early calls about both the Odyssey and the funding and your conflicts there. Now, I am a longtime listener of your station, and I really enjoy your morning show with Mr. Inge. Ms. Quinn, first class, too. Why do you have to go out of house to find somebody who's doing just as good a job as Odyssey? Because, in my opinion, strictly my opinion, the lady on Odyssey doesn't hold a candle to your own people. Why not bring some interns in and some of your own people and produce a show just as good, if not better, and be cheaper in the long run?
Well, that's a very fair question, and I guess the first thing I'd like to do on behalf of David and Celeste is say big thanks, and I can't disagree with you. I think they do I would put them up there with anybody. It costs more to produce a program in-house than it does. Odyssey being free right now, Fresh Air costs $9,000. And it costs us to produce Focus 580 somewhere in the neighborhood of $60,000 a year.
I see.
There's the difference.
Yeah.
And so, and that's because we have to pay, of course, David Inge's salary, Celeste Quinn's salary. We need to pay a portion of the salary of the technical director, such as Jason Croft, who's sitting here running the controls. The producers for the programs who do all the research and line up the guests and handle all of that, we have to pay those salaries too. Now, having said that, that sounds like a really huge number, but can you imagine what it costs to produce a program like Odyssey? They have 4 full-time producers. We have 1¾ producers producing both of our talk shows. 3 hours of interviews plus the 2:40 segment on the afternoon magazine, plus the news and information in the noon hour, and then Celeste and David doing the research. So,
well, if I might step in just for your conversation
sure.
there. There's a show that is very similar to Mr. Inge's that's in San Francisco called Forum.
Forum.
Yes, and it's a public radio station there, KQED, and you hear Mr. Inge's format more and more around, because it sounds like Odyssey is very much like his format.
Yeah.
Why don't you sell Mr. Inge?
Well, that's something we've thought about, too. In the past, we've made the argument that we had to quit at 5 minutes till the hour for our market update And we no longer have to do that, so we can go the public radio standard time to 59 past. But if we were running the station, if we were syndicating the program and putting it up on satellite, then your call and the call of the others in our listening audience would be competing with people all over the country, and the odds of you getting through would be much less. And that is one of the arguments that we've used, too, for doing our shows locally, being responsive to our audience and in allowing you to talk to some of the same guests that you'd hear on a nationwide program that we could get much cheaper than it costs to produce our own. But, you know, then we'd be putting you up against everybody else on that big 800 number, and we'd rather give you the chance to call in against, you know, the folks in the area.
Well, maybe we just better leave well enough alone.
I think it works pretty well the way it is.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot. I do appreciate your comments because it's always worth thinking about things. And certainly if we did syndicate the program, perhaps that would generate some revenue, and that's always something we have to look at. But on the other hand, you have to balance that. The program was created for listeners in our region. To be able to have access to people they might not ordinarily have access to. And certainly NPR produces Talk of the Nation, which is a two-hour afternoon call-in talk program, which has some of the same guests that we do on Focus 580. However, again, you know, you're battling everybody else on that 800 line. So let's go to another call here. And what is it, Champagne on line one? Great. Line one. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My first comment I'd like to say is that I grew up in the Chicagoland area, and I went to school in Chicago, and I have to say that you guys have a much better NPR and PBS station just in terms of programming and the times they're on, and I really enjoy it.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay. But also, I kind of would like to comment on the whole Odyssey debate here.
Mm-hmm.
That I enjoyed Fresh Air being on because it seems like right now during the day, 580 has just so many call-in talk shows.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing per se, but it just seems like there's just so much, like between Morning Edition and the thing, what is that, it's on at 4 o'clock.
All things considered,
yeah. Right. There's just all kinds of call-in talk shows, and, you know, Fresh Air kind of broke that up.
You appreciated a little diversion at times.
Yeah, and then it's like, I know it costs a lot of money, but maybe you guys could have like an interview show like that. You know, here in Champaign, like interview people, professors. I mean, it seems mm-hmm. like you have a lot of people to interview for call-in. Why not have someone just interview as an interview show, you know, kind of like Fresh Air or even like people like cultural activities in the area or something.
Oh, I see. Well, we try to fold those in on the afternoon magazine especially, mm-hmm. And especially in that 2:40 segment. But I'll pass that along and, you know, we'll talk about these things.
Well, thank you very much.
So, great. Thank you very much, too. Yeah, I know there's a lot of pretty heavy discussion. Sometimes your brain gets tired when you listen a lot. And, you know, WILL is one of those interesting stations that people who listen to it on a regular basis tend to listen a lot more than you might another radio station. And so you get a lot of information, you know, in. I hope it, in the end, is keeping our brains young and active by using them. Okay, that's kind of what we're about here. And let's go to line three, is it, Jason, that we're going to go to in Champaign? Go ahead, line three.
Yes, good afternoon. Hi. I just wanted to pick up on the National Public Radio concept. I don't know if you were aware that Charlie Rose had the CEO of NPR on.
Yeah, Kevin Close was on last Friday night, I believe
right,
it was.
Right,
yeah.
And the first station that he mentioned was WILL.
Ah, that's right.
Out of the University of Illinois.
Forgot about that, yeah.
And I was wondering, it was my impression that what he said was it was the first of the licensed? Was WILL the first of the?
Well, what basically, I think, I'm trying to remember back to what he was exactly saying. He was talking about some of the foundations of NPR and public radio. And, well, first on the license issue, WILL came on the air back in the early 1920s, and it is arguably the oldest radio station in Illinois, okay. And one of the oldest in the country.
Well, I had the impression that he said that it was one of the first public radio stations,
right,
you know, licensed under the new licensing procedures that were in place at that time, and I was quite impressed.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the nice endowment by Mrs. Kroc will add to, will reduce some of the costs to the local radio stations for the NPR.
For the programs
that,
or
will
the
that reduce your cost to their programs?
Well, I'll talk about that. Yeah, I can talk about that for a sec too. One of the things about the early public radio that he referred to too, discussions that predated public radio, and you can read some of this on our website under the history area. Discussions were taking place in the basement of Gregory Hall. Back before NPR and I think before National Educational Television even, for the formation of a more formal organization of public broadcasting. And I think there was an organization, National Association of Educational Broadcasters, that was formed. And some of the founders were, I mean, it was right here. It was, yes, indeed, at WILL and the University of Illinois, where this all started taking shape and eventually became what we know today as National Public Radio. So now the Kroc endowment, and you're talking about the $200 million that the widow of Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, bestowed upon NPR, that has to go into an endowment. That's what she wished. And so it will produce a certain amount of interest per year, which, and I'm not, you know, if David Sinnoh were here, he could probably give us a very good estimate of how much it'll spin off. But, you know, at a 5% interest rate, if you got $200 million, that's going to be about $10 million per year that's going to spin off, maybe. And when you think about that, in the grand scheme of things at NPR, with its budget and the hundreds of public radio stations, the amount of money that it would mean to any individual station or to any individual programming effort isn't huge. So we were just talking about this at our Public Radio in Mid-America group. And Public Radio in Mid-America, they call it PRIMA. It's basically an association of radio, of public radio stations throughout Mid-America, and the managers gather a couple of times a year. And it's the largest of the regional groups. And we talk about, and we talk with NPR and Corporation for Public Broadcasting and Public Radio International people and others. And they were soliciting ideas, the NPR people were soliciting ideas about what to do with the money, since it's not really going to generate enough money to make a huge difference in your program budget once it's diluted, you know, throughout the system. So what should they do with it? And a lot of ideas came up to use at least some of it for grants for stations to be able to better promote themselves. That was an idea that interested me. And so a number of other ideas came up too. But the answer is, the money going to come directly back to us? Are they going to reduce our fees? Probably not.
Well, thank you very much. But I was just very pleased that on Charlie Rose, he was talking about the quality of WILL. So it's richly deserved.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for bringing that up.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I wouldn't have thought to mention that. But, yeah, Kevin Close was on, and, of course, he's been here to the station. And Don Mullally, our director of the Division of Broadcasting, has in the past, he was a member of the board of directors of NPR and is highly regarded within NPR and the public radio system nationwide. And so a very firm foundation has been built here. And we hope, at least I do, being part of the new guard or the younger part of the administration, hope I can personally and live up to that. And now we need to go to line two, and we have another call from Urbana, I believe. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Jay.
Hi.
I'd like to cast my vote on Odyssey. The problem with Gretchen Helfrich is that her voice, for one thing, is too girly. Now, that's a subjective thing. The objective thing is that the people that she has on, for the most part, nobody's heard of, and there's a reason for this. Some of them have books, some of them don't. They usually don't disagree with each other. There's no excitement in the show. It's academic, centrist, wishy-washy. And the previous caller that said, why don't we do it in-house, I think has really got a great idea, and mm-hmm. I'd like to support that idea. The other problem is the half hour from 12:05 to 12:30 yeah. of the BBC News Hour, but we don't get the last half hour of the show. And here's real controversy. And I'm sure as a professor of journalism, you know, the more controversy, the better. And that's what makes a show exciting. That's why people turn it in. And that's why I turn off the station at 3 o'clock. Now, I'd like to also second the criticism one of the early callers made on censorship over AWARE. I think mm-hmm. you've done that. You can try to get out from under it if you want, but that's the fact. You don't tell the enhanced underwriters who are advertising junk merchandise that they have to say this or say that. Certainly they're controversial as well. And why not take an enhanced underwriting from the Christian right, or don't you get any? And if you don't, then you must ask yourself, why is that? And bend with your constituents and your listeners. I'll hang up and let you go. Thank you very much. You guys do a great job with nothing over there. I don't know how long you can go on.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. You know, the underwriting thing, yeah, I got to table that, I guess, because I can just talk about what I understand. You got to, you know, kind of give me understanding that I've been the interim manager since October, and I'm getting up to speed on a lot of areas such as this that I didn't have to deal directly with as the program director. So I defer to Les and our development department, which has drawn up the guidelines, you know, over the years, and also incorporated some of the legal guidelines that we're bound to by the FCC. It's not like advertising. Public radio, and I know there's a lot of controversy over what constitutes advertising and what constitutes an underwriting acknowledgement, but I'll tell you, the FCC is cracking down and issuing fines against stations. One in Michigan was just fined a substantial amount of money for crossing the line in their underwriting. And I guess as a consumer, as a listener, yeah, I've heard underwriting. I don't think on our station. We tend to be pretty conservative about it and stay well within the policy. But I've heard some that's really out there on some other stations. And the FCC seems to be putting an ear toward that now. But perhaps on a future edition of the show, I can remember to have Les along, and he can probably give us a little better exact definition of all of that. But it's worth talking about. I mean, it's what we try to be here as transparent as we can, because we're, you know, it's a public trust. We're here for you, our listeners, and we try to open ourselves up and be responsible to you. It's your money that that we're doing this with. So we think that's the fairest way to be. Line one is our next call, and you're on the air from Champaign. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just wanting to, say, hands down, this is the best radio station ever. Been listening to it for 10 years, turned it on once, never stopped, and I've been a supporter ever since. I know you guys have been taking it on the chin financially, but I wanted to, again, I didn't hear the whole show. I know you're talking about Fresh Air. Is there any talk of that coming back? Is it the funding? Is that the main thing?
Yeah.
And, okay. And I don't know. Obviously, there are reasons why you do everything. But what about extra funding? Could there be a fund drive, or maybe just fundraisers, like Artists Against AIDS type show, just for that one show, for people who are fans? Or maybe maybe most of the feedback you hear is negative. But I sure missed that show.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your comment. I'll address those points. And thanks for the compliment on the station, too. Fresh Air, again, it was a funding decision. The possibility of it coming back is always there if the funding turns around. I'll tell you, there are some priorities in line ahead of it. We're operating down one full-time person in the news department right now, and that's kind of crimping our abilities to go out and do some things we'd like to be doing. That has to be restored. And we have some other positions around. That's just a big, for instance, there. Well, I guess the fact that I'm program director and station manager now, that's another job. It's pretty tough to do both of those full-time positions. And, of course, filling in on the air, too. And a lot of us are doing this in behind the scenes. So I guess my answer is yeah, but it's not at the top of the list right now, but it's on the list of things that I'd like to be able to restore. I think funding will turn around. I think this isn't a permanent situation. You tend to go through cycles in these things. The state's in a down budget cycle, and that's affecting us. It has a big impact on us. And let's see. I'm trying to remember now that I've been talking about that what the last thing was that I was going to address.
Is it possible to have just a separate fundraiser for a particular show?
Yeah.
And has anyone approached you for?
They did around Fresh Air, and we talked about that. And the problem with that is that we haven't done that. Other stations have done that, and the experience that they've had is as well intentioned as it is to begin with. What's happened is, although people will promise you they're not going to reduce your contribution, their contribution that they're making anyway, to put money into this special fundraiser, that's usually what happens. And so you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And our budget isn't in the kind of a shape where we could stand that, because then, you know, it's the same thing. We're getting back to the same situation. Well, if we keep Fresh Air, something else is going to have to go.
That's the case, then it's the lesser of two evils. I would agree with that.
That's kind of where it is right now.
Okay. So,
unfortunate, and I agree, it's unfortunate. So.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for the call. And let's see. Thank goodness for screensavers on computers. They come up right when you don't need them to. Let's go to line, is it three? Okay, the old-fashioned way. Jason holds his fingers up. Line three, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, two callers ago, someone expressed dislike for Odyssey, and I would just like to say that I really like that show.
Oh, okay.
Girly or not, I really like that show.
Well, it does sound a little bit different than things that we have aired on the station, and I don't know if it's a little more contemporary sound or just exactly what it is about the program, but it is a little bit different.
Well,
Jason Croft loves the theme music, by the way.
I really like the host's style. I like the guests she has on, so I'm in direct opposition to the other guy.
Right.
Then the other thing is I think you're doing a really good job of filling in for Fresh Air. I'm a big Fresh Air fan, but I've liked the forum shows you've had on. You're just doing a very nice job at filling it in, and thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We ran a lot of different things that run at different times of our schedule. You can still hear some of those other programs if you listen at 10 o'clock at night. Saturdays at 5 we'll be running some of those types of programs that you'd been hearing in that slot. It was a struggle to find enough to come up with, but I think we came up with some good things, and we heard from a lot of people. Actually, one of the ironic things is for all the discussion about Fresh Air, we took it off the air beginning of October, I believe, the end of September, beginning of October now. And that was just about when a ratings period started that ended toward the end of the year, and we got the Arbitron ratings numbers. Now, you can't go by one survey. You have to average these things. But I will say that the initial indications are that the audience went up when Fresh Air went off. I'm not taking that for gospel, but I'll just throw it out for what it's worth. And we have one call waiting on line two that I think we can get to before we need to wrap up, and then the person who's holding on one, if you want to hold, I'll talk to you off the air. But line two, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm just calling to inquire about why Tavis Smiley is a radio talk show, and I believe he also has a television talk show is not on this local market.
I'm not sure. I can't speak for the television.
They just
started that.
About radio.
Cost, money. Money. I would have loved to put that in the 3 o'clock slot, but it's a fairly expensive program.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about it. I've got my eye on it for maybe the 9 o'clock slot in the morning. or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, perhaps, if Odyssey doesn't work out, or maybe some stations run it later in the evening, but it's a cost issue. That's a fairly expensive show. It's a really good show, and I wish we could run it. One of the problems we run into is that we lower power to 100 watts at night, and we're just a very local station. So I'm very hesitant to pay very much for programs that I run late at night because we can't get the big regional audience listening. It would be a difference between, we would have hundreds of people listening instead of thousands, and it would take thousands of listeners to help support that show. If I had time, if we were full power right up till midnight or all night and we had that wide audience and we could put it on at 8 o'clock or 9 at night, we could probably justify it. But it would be hard to do it, given its cost for the time slot that we could probably put it in for its audience. So that's the decision today. Stay tuned.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you much. And thanks to everyone who called. We do need to wrap up here because we need to get into the settlements and the closing market report. There are a couple of people on hold. If you want to just hold on, or if you want to give, maybe Henry Frayne can answer in master control and get your phone number or something, and I can call you back and be glad to do that. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for the discussion today. We'll do another Talk to the Manager soon. We try to do these every few months here on the Afternoon Magazine or on Focus 580. I appreciate all the comments and the interest and participation. We do need to get to the settlements, and for those numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade, I believe Todd Gleason's standing by.
In fact, I am here in the Ag office, and we appreciate you doing the program today, Jay. It was a nice program. Let's take a look at some of the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade today. Quite a week in the bean pit. We'll get to those numbers completely, but Dave Dickey just handled me the settlements for the week. Now, this is a weekly close on the beans. The nearby March contract, get this up, 64 cents higher for the week. That's from last week's close to this week's close on Friday. The March gained 64 cents. The November, by the way, was only up 19 cents. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind as we go through the settlement prices for the day from the Chicago Board of Trade. We'll start in the wheat pit. The March contract, 376 and three quarters. The high, the low, it's 365. The settlement price there, 371 and a half. They were up a penny, or rather down a penny and a quarter for the day. The May wheat, 384. The high, the low at 372 and a half. A settlement price at 379, down a half cent. In July futures, 380 the high. Low at 371 and a half, a settlement price at 376 and a half, up one. September contract, 383 the high, the low at 376, a settlement price at 380 and a quarter, up a penny and a quarter. In December wheat, 389 on the high, the low at 383, a settlement at 387 and a half, up two and a quarter on the morning. March futures for the corn, 288 the high, the low at 282 and a half, a settlement price at 284 and three quarters. They finished the day unchanged. In the May contract, 294 and a half the high, the low at 288 and three quarters, a settlement for the May corn, down a quarter of a cent at 291. July contract, 296 and a half the high, the low at 291 and a quarter, a settlement price at 293 and a half. They were down a quarter. And the September futures, 289 the high, the low at 285 and a half, a settlement price. They finished 288 for the day. They were up three quarters. December corn, 285 and three quarters on the high, the low at 282, a settlement price at 284 and three quarters, up a penny and a quarter. In the March contract, 287 and a half high, low at 284 and three quarters, settled 287 and one quarter, up one. July futures for the corn pit, 290 and a half the high, the low at 288 and a half. This is July 05, 289, the settlement price up a half cent. And the December 05 contract, 2 years out, 258 for the high, the low at 256, and a 257 settlement for that 2005 corn contract. In the December option, down a penny and a half for the day. March oats, 150 the high, the low at 147, a settlement price at 149 and three quarters, up one and a quarter. In the May contract, to 155 and a quarter high, low at 152 and a half, a settlement price 153 and three quarters. They finished up a quarter of a cent for the day. Now from the soy complex, as I told you, the March contract settled the week up 64 cents. That's from last Friday's close to this Friday's close. They picked 13 cents of that gain up today. 898 the high. Once again, 898, 2 cents off the $9 area for the March corn for the day, or March soybeans for the day. The low at 882, a settlement price at 893. Once again, that March bean contract up 13 cents. May futures, 892 the high, the low at 876. A settlement price at 883 and a half, up 7. And July 871 the high, the low at 856. A settlement price 862 and three quarters, up 6 3/4. September soybeans 7.54, the high, the low at 7.44, settlement price at 7.48, they were up 3. And November's 6.77 1/2 on high, the low at 6.69, a settlement price at 6.71 3/4, up 3 3/4. January beans 6.77, the high, the low at 6.71, a settlement price at 6.72, up 4. And the bean meal now, the March contract 2.72, the high, the low at 2.68.50, a settlement price at 2.70.20, up 2.50. The May meal 2.72 high, low at 268, a settlement price at 269.90, up 280. The March oil, 33.07 on the high, the low at 32.30, a settlement price at 32.93, up 46. And the May oil, 32.87, the high, the low at 32.10, a settlement price at 32.58, and they finished the day 14 higher. Now here's Jay with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
All right, and I got to call them up on the screen here from the Merc. There we go. The March feeder cattle had a high today at 85 even, a low of 84.05. The settlement was 84.17 1/2, and that was down 40. April feeder cattle, 84.75 for the high, 83.92 1/2 the low, 84.05. The settlement down 52 1/2. May feeder cattle ended the day down 52 1/2 as well. The high was 85.50, the low 84.80, the settlement 84.95, again down 52 1/2. August feeder cattle, the high 88.15, the low 87.55, the settlement 87.90, down 35. February live cattle had a high today at 78.17 1/2, a low of 77.20, the settlement 77.85, up 20. March live cattle, 75.20 for the high, 74.50 was the low, 74.80 the settlement, that was unchanged. April live cattle, the high 73.25, the low 72.45, the settlement 72.82 1/2, up 2 1/2 at the end of the day. And June live cattle, 70.22 1/2 was the high, 69.50 the low, 70.02 1/2. The settlement down 7 1/2. April lean hogs 60.70 for the high, 59.75 the low, 60.10 the settlement, up 40. May lean hogs 61 even the high, 60.60 was the low, 60.95 was the settlement, up 35. June lean hogs 65.25 the high, 64.65 the low, 64.87 1/2 the settlement, down 2 1/2. And July lean hogs had a high of 61.45, a low of 60.80. The settlement 61.37 1/2, up 17 1/2. February pork bellies, the high 98, the low 96.50, and the settlement was 97.52 1/2, up 162 1/2. And March pork bellies had a high today at 97.50, a low of 96.50, the settlement 97.25, up 157 1/2.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from Horene's Pianos Plus, your Steinway Piano Showroom in Bloomington. Horene's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, and other fine pianos.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Kurt Fredericksburg from Reston, Washington writes, "Dear Dr. Science, are hypnosis tapes really just a way to get me to listen to New Age music?"
Oh, it's even worse than that. They're a way to get you to like New Age music. Sure, there's been a lot of talk about how these subliminal messages are completely ineffective, but if that's the case, how come sales of New Age music keep going up? Why else would people deliberately listen to the audio equivalent?